From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming via voanews.id.
Listener, how are you today? It's nice to meet you again with me, Rahma, to accompany you in 60 minutes ahead. In today's edition, we would like to present some information starting from news from across the country, and so forth. Also, there are Indonesian pop songs. Well, listener, let's begin with the news. Stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, on the frequency 3325 kHz or 4750 kHz, www.voinews.id, and RRI Playgo mobile app.
This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with the news. First, the headlines. Chairperson of Indonesian People's Consultative Assembly affirms government should have strategy to eradicate corruption cases. Southwest Papua officially becomes Indonesia's 38th province. Now the news in detail. Chairperson of the Indonesian People's Consultative Assembly, Bambang Susatyo, encouraged the government to have a strategy in place for preventing and suppressing corruption cases across Indonesia. The step needs to be taken because corruption can cause conflicts and harm the supremacy of law and exacerbate poverty and hinder development. Bambang Susatyo on Friday, as reported by Antara, made the statement in relation to International Anti-Corruption Day that is commemorated every December the 9th. Indonesian Minister of Home Affairs Tito Karnavian has said that the government has officially enacted Law No. 29/2022 concerning Southwest Papua, making it the 38th province of Indonesia. Minister Tito Karnavian on Friday, as quoted by Antara, attended the swearing-in ceremony of the acting governor of Southwest Papua, Muhammad Musaat, at the Ministry Sasana Bakti Praja Room in Jakarta on the same day. Football gives a positive energy for friendship among countries in the world. Even football can provide a good impact of economy. This was stated by Ambassador of the Kingdom of Morocco to Indonesia, Kwadia Ben Abdellah, at the special interview with RRI Voice of Indonesia on Friday, virtually. Related to the World Cup 2022, Ambassador Ben Abdellah appreciated the support of Indonesian people to the Moroccan team. He further explained that Morocco and Indonesia can hold cooperation in the future.
I really believe it. Since I'm here, I try to push some Moroccans to come to Indonesia, but they say, Indonesia have to call us. And I was speaking about this training center, Center Mohammed VI of sports. Really, it can be a good opportunity to go there. And it is just opening a door. When we will open this door, I am sure there are a lot of opportunities. I see the support of Indonesians. I say to all Indonesians, I love you. I love how you support Moroccans. Please, minimum, pray for them. Pray for this team. And any result, thank you very much. Thank you very much, Indonesia. Thank you very much, to our team.
Moreover, Ambassador Kwadia Ben Abdellah also pointed out that Indonesian people and Morocco are close and friendly, so the good relations will be maintained continuously. Besides, Indonesia has majority Muslim community. Coordinating Minister for Economic Affairs Erlangga Hartarto has said that accelerating digital-based economic transformation is one of the government's efforts to support national economic growth. Minister Erlangga in Jakarta on Friday, as quoted by Antara, said that one of the government's efforts to continue to maintain the momentum of national economic growth is by accelerating digital-based economic transformation. He further explained that a digital-based economic transformation will help continue the country's growth momentum since the value of Indonesia's digital economy has reached $77 billion in 2022 and is expected to continue to increase and touch $146 billion by 2025. The Ministry of Cooperatives and Small and Medium Enterprises is encouraging micro, small, and medium enterprises to make more products that meet international and large business standards. Hence, it is necessary to train the micro, small, and medium enterprises and technically assist them in making prototypes as well as help them with certification, financing, and product design. Deputy for the Small Medium Enterprises at the Ministry, Hanung Harimba, in a statement issued on Fridays, said that he expects that the hexahelix supply chain ecosystem includes the government, universities, entrepreneurs, communities, media, and banking actors to be strengthened. This news broadcast is coming your way from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The U.S. has said that Russia and Iran's relationship has warmed to a fully-fledged defense partnership. As quoted by BBC.com, today, U.S. National Security Council spokesman John Kirby conveyed that Russia is giving an unprecedented level of military support. He added that U.S. has seen reports that the two countries are considering joint production of lethal drones. Australia has announced it is sanctioning 3 Iranians and 1 Iranian business for supplying Russia with drones to be used against Ukraine. Cooperation between Russia and Iran has been highlighted recently, with Ukraine accusing Russia of using Iranian drones in its attacks. China's authorities said they were cracking down on price gouging of medical supplies and drugs and seeking to ensure they flow smoothly as fears grow of a massive COVID-19 outbreak after the nationwide dismantling of strict restrictions. As reported by the channel's newsasia.com, China announced 10 measures on Wednesday, December 7, that loosened key parts of President Xi Jinping's signature zero COVID policy in a dramatic pivot towards economic reopening. But concerns are increasing of a spike in infection as people scramble for cough medicines, flu drugs, and masks. That was the end of the news. I'm Anna Trijayakasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
This is Voice of Indonesia with Diplomatic Corner highlighting the Indonesian ambassador to Kazakhstan supports Indonesia-Eurasian Economic Union FTA negotiations. The Indonesian ambassador to Kazakhstan and Tajikistan, Fajrul Rahman, expressed his full support for negotiating a free trade agreement or FTA between Indonesia and the Eurasian Economic Union. He admitted that he was very grateful for the launch of the free trade agreement negotiations, which were broadcast online on Monday, December 5th. Fajrul Rahman is conveyed by the Indonesian Embassy in Astana, Kazakhstan, in his statement on Tuesday, December 6, explained, free trade agreement will provide various facilities that can help increase the volume and value of trade between Indonesia and Kazakhstan. This year, the value of Indonesia and Kazakhstan's trade could exceed $600 million, or around 9.3 trillion rupiah, the highest of all ASEAN countries in Kazakhstan. He hopes that by 2023, the value of Indonesia and Kazakhstan trade can be close to $1 billion, especially after the signing of the free trade agreement. According to Fajrul, the negotiations were carried out as part of Indonesia's efforts to expand non-traditional markets, especially to countries in the Eurasia region consisting of Russia, Kazakhstan, Armenia, Belarus, and Kyrgyzstan. Kazakhstan is the largest and richest country in Central Asia, so it has the potential to become Indonesia's economic partner. The Minister of Trade of Indonesia, Zulkifli Hasan, said the Eurasia region is very strategic for Indonesia. Indonesia views the Eurasian Economic Union as an important trading partner. Meanwhile, member of the board of the Ministry of Trade of the Eurasian Economic Union, Andrei Slepnev, said, agricultural products have very great prospects to be expanded because traditionally it has been the largest part of the Eurasian Economic Union's imports from Indonesia. Fajrul expressed his appreciation for the various efforts made by the Ministry of Trade of Indonesia to be able to complete the process of establishing a free trade agreement between Indonesia and the Eurasian Economic Union. He emphasized that the free trade agreement is the future of economic relations between Indonesia and Kazakhstan. Well, listener, that was Diplomatic Corner from Voice of Indonesia. This is Voice of Indonesia with Today in History. We begin with an event on December 10, 1901 about the awarding of the first Nobel Prize in Stockholm, Sweden. The Nobel Prize is awarded annually to those who have carried out outstanding research, discovered new techniques or equipment, or have made outstanding contributions to society. Nobel Prize are awarded every December 10 to coincide with the date of death of Alfred Nobel, a scientist who bequeathed his wealth for awarding the Nobel Prize since 1901. Now we move to December 10, 1948 about Human Rights Day. Human Rights Day is celebrated annually by many countries, including Indonesia, on December 10th. This date was chosen in reference to December 10, 1948, when the General Assembly of the United Nations adopted and proclaimed the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. The commemoration began in 1950, when the General Assembly invited all concerned nations and organizations to celebrate. We end today in history with December 10, 1957, when the Indonesian government established the National Oil Company. The state oil and gas company Pertamina's milestones began around 1950s, when the Indonesian government appointed the army to establish PT Eksploitasi Tambang Minyak Sumatera Utara to manage oil fields in the Sumatra region. On December 10, 1957, the company changed its name to PT Perusahaan Minyak Nasional or Permina. This date is commemorated as the birth of Pertamina until now. In 1960, PT Permina changed its status to become a state enterprise Permina. Then, PN Permina merged with PN Pertamin to become PN Mining Oil and Gas Negara or Pertamina on August 20, 1968. To strengthen this young company, the government issued Law No. 8 in 1971, which placed Pertamina as a state-owned oil and gas company. Well, listener, that was Today in History from Voice of Indonesia.
Sampai tua, dia yang terang bersinar di antara bara. Dia adalah petunjuk dalam diriku bahwa dia murni pelengkap hidup paling paripurna. Jika dia hip hop, yeah, aku fans berat dirinya. Jika dia film biru, aku penonton setia. Dia adalah pengisi, aku adalah rima. Aku kan di sisinya karena cukup dia.
Di hidupku dialah surga, bagiku dia sang pesona. Dialah segalanya, cukup dia. Bintang bagiku anugerah terindah. Dialah segalanya, cukup dia, cukup dia, cukup.
Saat ku foto idola, dia inspirasi. Kompilasi dari berbagai inspirasi. Dia sempurna dari segala sisi. Selalu mengisi, aku Glenn Alinsky, dia Chelsea.
Dalam waktu, akulah menit, dia detiknya.
Dalam hidup, akulah raga, dialah nyawa.
Akulah tahta, dan dia wanitanya.
Dia, oh cukup dia, segalanya.
My lady, my lady, buat hidupku lebih sempurna. Warnai indah hariku saat bersama. Temukan arti tulus penuh makna cinta. Seperti garam dan merica ciptakan rasa. Dan takkan ada yang lain yang bisa. Bila satu mampu berikan ku segalanya. Penantian panjang akhirnya tiba. Cukup dia satu, yeah, untuk selamanya.
Hidupku dialah surga, bagiku dia sang pesona. Dialah segalanya. Cukup dia, cukup dia, cukup. Kenalanku dialah bintang, bagiku anugerah terindah. Dialah segalanya.
Still tuned to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at the frequency 3325 kHz or 4750 kHz, www.voinews.id or RRI Playgo mobile app. Listener, the next segment is My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
My Indonesia Today is on challenge of realizing Indonesia's electric vehicle production target. Indonesian Ministry of Industry continues to make various breakthroughs in accelerating the formation of the battery-based electric motorized vehicle ecosystem in Indonesia. In fact, it has issued several regulations concerning low carbon emission four-wheeled vehicles. The Ministry of Industry itself targets that by 2030, it will produce locally 1 million electric cars and 32 million units of electric motorbikes. Minister of Industry Agus Gumiwang Kartasasmita said that there are still a number of challenges that must be overcome to achieve this target. During a working meeting broadcast on the House of Representatives YouTube channel Thursday, he said the obstacle faced in Indonesia was the complete knockdown import of electric vehicles. The level of industrialization of electric vehicles currently is still at domestic assembly. From these challenges, he said that the solution from the ministry is that efforts are needed to enlarge the electric vehicle market in Indonesia in order to achieve an economic of scale. This step is a form of supporting the penetration of the domestic component industry. Another challenge to achieving domestic electric vehicle production target is the dependence on semiconductor components. The global semiconductor crisis still affecting the limited number of electric vehicles in Indonesia. Therefore, there is a need for assessment with various parties like last year with those in the United States. This step is an effort so that Indonesia can be involved in the global semiconductor supply chain. Minister Agus Gumiwang added, through the battery-based electric motorized vehicle ecosystem that has been prepared, it is hoped that the production target in 2035 of 1 million units of electric cars can reduce 12.5 million barrels of fuel and 4.6 million tons of CO2. As for the two-wheeled vehicles or electric motorbikes, it is hoped that in 2035, Indonesia will be able to produce a minimum of 32 million units, thereby reducing 4 million barrels of fuels and 1.4 million tons of CO2. That was My Indonesia Today.
Cintaku ini kasih.
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas broadcasting service of Radio Republik Indonesia. Now we present you Indonesian Wonder about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Listener, here is Indonesian Wonder. The title of the Indonesian Wonder for today's edition is Gedat Waterfall in Yogyakarta. Listener, Gunung Kidul Regency in Central Java Province has an extraordinary natural tourism potential. New tourism attractions have started coming up. One of them is the Gedat Waterfall, or often called ATG by the local people. Gedat Waterfall is located in Gedat Sub-Village, Banyu Soco Village, Placen District, Gunung Kidul Regency. This waterfall is called Gedat Waterfall because it is located at Gedat Sub-Village. Listener, Gedat Waterfall has its own characteristics. The Gedat Waterfall is about 10 until 15 meters high, but the walls are quite wide and have steps so that the flow of water is wide and foamy, and it looks very artistic. The pool below can be used for showering, bathing, and playing in the water. Besides, in front of the waterfall, a special deck is also made available for those who like to take selfies. The ambience at the Gedat Waterfall Tourism Spot is still very beautiful and suitable for those who have a hobby of photography. Thank you. Listener, the location of the Gedat Waterfall is about 50 kilometers from the downtown of Jogja, with a distance is about 2-hour drive. According to the story, this Gedat Waterfall was discovered by a kiai named Adu Dardak. He dug the ground on Mount Gerunggung. Then, through the mountain cliffs, there was water flowing to Gedat sub-village. One of them became this Gedat Waterfall. To get to the location of this Gedat Waterfall, visitors can take a vehicle by going through paved roads and small rocky roads as far as 300 meters. Then they can park their vehicles in front of the residents' houses. The journey is still continue on foot through the limestone rocks for about 50 meters to get to the location of the waterfall. Shady trees towering high become a distinctive rural view when heading to the location of this waterfall. Listener, arriving at Gedat Waterfall, visitors will witness a charming natural panorama. Waterfall that is clear and clean from the limestone hills, and the swift flow of the waterfall that hits large rocks make the water split like a gleam of light. Wooden and bamboo bridges and high coconut trees add to the exotic view of the location of this waterfall. Well, listener, that's Indonesian Wonder.
Saat ku duduk berdua denganmu, berjalan bersamamu, menarilah denganku. Namun bila hari ini adalah yang terakhir, namun ku tetap bahagia. Selalu cepatlah sampaikan kepadaku agar ku tak berharap dan buat kau bersedih bila nanti saatnya telah tiba. Ku ingin kau menjadi istriku, berjalan bersamamu dalam terik dan hujan, berlarian ke sana kemari dan tertawa. Namun bila saat berpisah telah tiba,
cepatlah sampaikan kepadaku agar ku tak berharap dan buat kau bersedih. Bila nanti saatnya telah tiba, ku ingin kau menjadi istriku, berjalan bersama dalam terik dan hujan, berlarian ke sana kemari dan tertawa. Namun bila saat berpisah telah tiba, izinkan ku menjaga dirimu, berdua menikmati pelukan di ujung waktu. Sudilah kau temani diriku, sudilah kau menjadi temanku, sudilah kau menjadi istriku.
Well, listener, here is miscellany that inform you about interesting events that occur in Indonesia. VOI listener, the Indonesian Ministry of Tourism and Creative Economy is currently preparing documents for submitting dangdut music to become an intangible cultural heritage to UNESCO. Sandiaga Uno, as the Minister of Tourism and Creative Economy, said this proposal must be realized as soon as possible so that dangdut is not claimed by other countries. Sandiaga continued the submission of dangdut to UNESCO was based on a study by experts at his ministry, who concluded that dangdut music deserves to be registered as an intangible heritage from Indonesia. Sandiaga explained that there are several factors driving the Ministry of Tourism and Creative Economy to submit dangdut as a cultural heritage to UNESCO. One of them, dangdut has become an Indonesian cultural identity. In addition, tens of millions of people work in the dangdut music sector. Actually, this is not the first time that dangdut will be registered with UNESCO. This plan was first initiated by Indonesian dangdut musician Roma Irama in 2012, when he served as the chairman of the Indonesian Malay Music Artists Association. Roma Irama claimed to work with the government to make it happen. At that time, the artist, who was nicknamed the King of Dangdut, admitted that he was ready to take responsibility for proving that dangdut music was not the result of Indian music influence, but original Indonesian music. Leading up to the submission of dangdut to UNESCO, various documentation and collaboration with ministries and other institutions are being prepared. It is hoped that dangdut music will soon follow angklung and gamelan traditional musical instruments that UNESCO has recognized as intangible cultural heritage from Indonesia. Well, listener, that was miscellany from Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. You are still listening to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World, 3325 kHz or 4750 kHz, www.voinews.id or RRI Playgo mobile app. Listener, next segment is Music Corner about music information in Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hi VY listener, in today's edition of Music Corner, I'm going to present a keroncong song entitled Tak Ingin Sendiri by Remember Entertainment. The song, which was released in 1984 and popularized by Dian Piscesa, tells about someone who really misses his ex-girlfriend. He still loves her ex-girlfriend so much with all his soul that he's willing to do everything to get her love back together. Well, listener, here is Remember Entertainment with the keroncong song Tak Ingin Sendiri, which means don't wanna be alone. Happy listening!
Sendiri, ku cari damai bersama.
Voice of Indonesia.
Megamendung di angkasa, hembusan bayu dingin terasa. Gerimis berderai di merata, bagai mutiara. Rahmat dibawa bersama, limpahannya meresap di jiwa. Ada kala bahagia terasa, meskipun duka nestapa. Tika hujan turun, sayu mendayu lagu keroncong. Merdu irama di alun bersenandung. Hujan membasahi bumi, melahirkan keluhuran budi. Mengerat perpaduan suci, kasih sayang abadi.
Voice of Indonesia.
Kali ku coba tebak.
Well, listener, it's time for me to sign out now. Stay tuned with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world on the frequency 3325 kHz or 4750 kHz. www.voinews.id and RRI Playgo mobile app. Don't forget to check our social media accounts, Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, Instagram, voice.of.indonesia, Twitter, VOI Indonesia, and don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel, VOI Indonesia. I'm Rahmawati signing out. See you in the next English program.